Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'm going to double down on Odell Beckham Jr. being completely overrated.
And I'm Colin Coward, and I'll tell you how Ezekiel Elliott could be the next LeBron James. Speak for yourself. Start right now.
Oh, my God. Here we go crowning people.
I like to do that.
Crowning people early. All right. Hello and welcome. We're joined today by NFL legend Ray Lewis. And NFL Films is Greg Cosell. Greg, I'm really happy you're here. Smartest guy at the table. All right, let's start in the NFL with Jets rookie Jamal Adams. With Roger Goodell sitting nearby, the cornerback was asked about his concerns over concussions and CTE at a fan forum yesterday, and his answer raised a lot of eyebrows.
You know, I can speak for a lot of guys that play the game. You know, we live and breathe, and this is what we're so passionate about. Literally, if I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field. I would be at peace. Literally, I would be at peace. And that's not a lie.
All right, not everyone feels the same way, with Packers tight end Martellus Bennett tweeting, quote, "I hope all these young cats that are willing to die for the game of football find a higher purpose in life." All right, Cal Herd, do you have an issue with what Adam said?
No, because he's young and he's achieved a dream and you don't know his backstory, and maybe he grew up without much, maybe he did, I don't know, and he's 21 and they're paying him money to play football in New York and he's the happiest cat in the world. I didn't take it literally. I think the audience understood what he was saying. I've heard boxers say, "I'm going to die in the ring." I've got kids. Sometimes they tell me they hate me. Sometimes they tell me they love me. Young, emotional people have an audience. I think I understand what he's saying, so I got it.
You're taking the words right out of my mouth. I don't understand why Martellus Bennett is virtue signaling and pretending like this guy is taking it literally. I'll say this as a 50-year-old grown man, and this will make me sound stupid. I love football so much and what it's done for me and my family that I understand exactly where he's coming from. When football carries you places, and for me it was just a college education, I couldn't imagine making it to the NFL because I had dreams of doing that, making it to the NFL, making the kind of money this young kid can make and help his family. Yeah, what he's saying is he's all in on football.
And think of it this way. What do scouts and coaches look for? Ray can address this. They want that commitment, that
Absolutely.
Ultimate commitment to the game of football.
Yeah.
Okay, and I agree with Colin. I did not take that literally.
No.
I don't think he was talking about that. But look, we have a guy who played that way sitting on the set in Ray, who played every down like it was the most important thing happening in his life every minute.
Yeah.
For that second, I think Jamal Adams, and I know a little bit about Jamal Adams, with the way they thought about him in LSU, he was considered the best kid to go through that school, and they've had great, great players just as far as his commitment, his approach to the game, the way he thinks about the game and thinks about life in general. So I don't think anybody really took that literally.
And you can tell if you listen to his language exactly what type of kid he is, right? He appreciates the moment of what it built, what it took to get to those levels.
Sure.
And when you think about that, you know, I was talking about this earlier, think about the things, the struggles, and the people that you brought out, the people that you was able to help. Like, my mom could not pay for food. My mom couldn't get us out of the projects. Like, we were stuck. We was broke. Like, there was no way out.
Well, football's not just part of your life. It's really part of
your life.
It is.
It is your life.
It's huge.
If you never dedicate to it, if you never devote the smallest moments to it, you'll never appreciate it. Now, I guarantee you, Jamal will say, may speak differently later.
Yeah.
He will, later.
Yeah.
But now, that young dream.
He's not a fully formed human being.
Absolutely not.
I mean, he's a 21-year-old kid without a large perspective on life.
Mm-hmm.
As he gets older, I'm sure same thing happened with you.
Same thing.
You become a fully formed human being as you get older, and then you talk a little differently. You see things a little differently. Doesn't change your commitment.
No.
It just changes your sort of approach to the world.
Yep. Look at our American military. Kids are 18, and they're not asked about their dreams. They often join the military because it's financially, it's an economic system that helps you. And there are kids that fall in love with it and ask to go back to Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that and think, that's crazy. But what did that do to transform their life economically, socially?
Yep.
They could be rural kids. Now they're in a group of men. They're accepted. They become a battalion sergeant. They're looked up as a leader. Mm-hmm. That the military changes their entire life. Yeah. It becomes a part of their personality.
The thing that bothers me about this Jamal Anderson conversation, the fact that what he said was controversial and people didn't have the ability to go, no, I get what he's really saying, it's CTE and how we have... Right. Anytime you talk about football, you must talk about the dangers of CTE. And I'm sorry, I'm going to eventually get in trouble for not totally buying into the CTE narrative, not totally buying into that football is this horrible game because it gives you concussions. All the sports world enjoyed a great weekend of MMA fighting with a good friend of ours, Daniel Cormier, getting knocked completely out. That doesn't happen very often in football, but it happens in UFC, and no one's calling, how do we shut down MMA? Why aren't we talking about concussions in MMA?
Concussions have landed squarely on pro football. Soccer's got a huge issue.
Mm-hmm. Hockey.
Hockey has a huge issue. But
huge,
football, NFL is so popular, it's landing on that
sport. A metaphor. What he said was a metaphor for his love of the game of football.
That's why you got to appreciate it.
Welcome back, Ray Lewis, Greg Koseller back. That was feisty yesterday. It's funny. Let's return to Odell. As we just heard, Whitlock thinks the Giant star is completely overrated, is only famous because of his flowing blonde locks. Well, today some people went after him on social media. Clippers forward Sam Decker tweeting in shock, quote, "Someone paid to cover sports said this." All right, Whitlock, are you going to finally acknowledge you were a little hostile, back down from your OBJ comments?
No, I'm going to explain, and people weren't listening to me. We keep talking about Odell Beckham Jr. like he's the best receiver in the league. People on his team keep, oh, yeah, he's the best player in the league. He's saying he wants to be the highest paid player in the league. The guy is not Julio Jones. He's not Antonio Brown. Therefore, if you're not even the best at your position, and people keep running their mouth, he's the best player in the league. He ain't the best at his position. He's overrated.
Well, who's rating him?
Yeah, that's a good question. What's the rate?
Like,
he's rated as popular, fast, and athletic.
I guarantee that if you spoke to defensive coaches in the NFL, they'd say he would be pretty darn good. Now, there's a difference there'd be a difference between hype and football.
Yeah.
We live in a pop culture world. So you're saying that if he's not he shouldn't be a big celebrity? That's a whole different question. As a wide receiver in the NFL.
Better than Julio Jones?
No, I don't think he's better than Julio Jones.
Are we talking about him every damn week as if he is? We don't talk about Julio
Jones. I'm not talking about him now. I'm responding to you.
Well, I'm saying, is he overhyped or not, Greg?
Overhyped?
Yeah, just that question. We'll get to overrated next. Is he overhyped?
Overhyped? What does overhyped even mean in our society?
In my society, it means people are talking about him like he's Julio Jones. People are talking about him like he's the next Jerry Rice.
Certainly.
The man laid an egg.
He's a three-year player in the NFL who's a really good receiver.
Who is a freaking superstar in New York.
Superstar. Yeah. That's why I say overhyped.
What do you mean? How?
You got to do something.
He's doing a lot.
He's doing a lot.
He's
a three-year player.
Okay, Nike in the history of football, Nike has never given a player a a $50 million shoe deal. So why did Nike do that? Because this is what Nike does. I used to live in Portland. That's where it's based.
So
Nike sent people to Giants games, walked around the stadium with him, saw how kids reacted to him, He literally owns the New York media.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, let's put aside all that. Let's say after 3 years in the NFL, he's the third best receiver in the league. Let's say he's that. Julio's better, which he is. He's just
Antonio Brown.
Let's say he's after 3 years in the NFL. Is that problematic?
I didn't say problem. We weren't having a problematic conversation. I asked the question that you keep dodging. Is he overhyped? I'll get to then
overhyped.
I can move.
I don't even know what overhyped means.
Wait, what's the personal problem you got with Odell?
I don't have a personal problem.
I have a problem
with the conversation around this dude constantly. When we looked, it's a January league, man. It's a January and February league, and he laid an egg. And so why are we crowning him, Ray? Why are we crowning him?
The biggest thing we've seen, I said it yesterday, in New York sports history was Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
This kid in the New York market is a rock star.
Yeah.
I don't care how you want to crown him or if you don't want to crown him. What that kid does for the young population, talking about athleticism, playing the game, everybody's had bad games. Everybody has had drop passes, whether it's highlighted by he missed, went on a boat, whatever. That's irrelevant for the bad game. A bad game is a bad game.
By the way.
But the mystery behind what I'm asking you is, what you and Odell got going on?
And the sample size is not large enough. The sample size is not large enough to decide that he's not a big game
player.
Okay,
they're also, we have to say this, is the one-hand catch was so spectacular. There's no question. I mean, I can think of Derek Jeter's whole career. The flip, I can visualize.
Right.
There are players. Michael Jordan's logo is the dunk. There are iconic moments in the history of sports. This is one of them.
In a game he lost.
Okay, it doesn't matter. I don't remember
with gloves they didn't use to
allow. Oh, stop.
Oh, my goodness.
That literally.
See, there's something going on with
Odell. No,
I'm going to call your mama because you're going to tell me something.
No, history of the NFL, that is one of the one or two most iconic moments ever.
Oh, my God, Colin.
It is.
Wow. Dwight Clark would smack you right now. You know how many people? Lynn Swan in the Super Bowl?
I don't think it's as big as that.
Greg, you work for NFL Films. That's preposterous what he just said.
I don't think it is.
You know it better than I do. Back me up.
I don't want to speak for Colin, but I think he's just speaking about the individual play,
right.
not where it happened or just the individual play.
Right.
That goes down.
Yeah.
In my mind, there are like five NFL plays I can think of. That's one of them,
and he's the only
guy playing that's done one of them.
And bottom line, in his history, which everybody has a history, that's the one play in his history, his young history,
right.
that we will remember forever.
Greg, you work for NFL. This is embarrassing.
No,
this is embarrassing.
I think it's
not. No, don't stop. Don't move. Pittsburgh Steelers. Lynn Swann's catching the Super Bowl.
Against Dallas.
Franco Harris's catch against the Raiders. And we're sitting here talking about a regular season game that the man lost. When you go to NFL Films and y'all start making tapes, it won't be about some regular season catch in a game he lost. It's about Franco Harris, and it's about Lynn Swann and what's done
in January. You're separating the play from the context.
That's
and
right.
I'm not saying that that's wrong,
right.
but I'm saying if you look at an individual, there are plenty of great athletic moments that happen in every sport that don't necessarily have to happen in the playoffs or in the championship game, but there's individual moments that are phenomenal.
Because that's what greatness is.
Right.
It's a lot of small moments.
Right.
And that was a small moment.
By the way, let me give you an NBA one. Dr. J with a hook dunk.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't know if it's a playoff game or Tuesday.
That's one of the great plays.
It was a playoff game. Michael Jordan over Craig Elo, playoff game. Why the hell are we? This is what I don't like. The man is overhyped. We talk about regular season. We act like what he did in the playoffs doesn't matter. He's overhyped and overrated.
To Dallas, where the Peter King of Monday Morning Quarterback reports that Jason Garrett recently told Ezekiel Elliott that his growing list of off-field issues is costing him a lot of money. Peter King explained yesterday on The Herd.
The greatest thing that Garrett said to me in Oxnard was basically, hey, look, I've talked to him on multiple occasions, and he understands basically that he could go out and if he plays everything right, he could be the next LeBron. But if right now, if you're AT&T, you're Pepsi, you're looking for a national spokesman, you're going with Dak Prescott or Jordan Spieth. You're not going with Ezekiel Elliott because you just don't know.
Whitlock, can Zeke clean up his image?
Listen, I don't give up on young people, and they're capable of anything. And so, yes, he can. Will he? I have strong doubts. And I have strong doubts because of what his father said very early on. My son can't handle the fame and the spotlight. He needs help. No one knows him better than his parents. He's a kid with a different kind of personality. And again, it's no different than my battle with weight. It's been going on a long time. I'm capable, but does my history say I'm going to do it? This kid is a fun-loving, immature kid. It may be 20 years before he snaps out of it.
Now, the good news is America is very forgiving. Mike Tyson was in prison, and then he was on Broadway. Robert Downey Jr. was a drug addict who was breaking into people's homes, and now he's the number one star in Hollywood. we tend to, with our athletes and our artists, really understand the kind of the evolution. They're young, they're immature, they've got a lot of emotion. I do think this country has shown an ability for public figures, I mean, politics. Trump can say something this hour, and his base loves him the next hour. We forgive. We do, really. We may not forget, but we're pretty good at forgiving. And, you know, listen, it is harder to be the star of the Cowboys than it is of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That microscope is pretty big.
It's the flip side almost of the Jamal Adams conversation. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with a young kid who probably doesn't get it. I know that's a cliche, but he doesn't understand a lot of the opportunities that are present for him. Maybe if he loses significant dollars, because I think that always factors in, maybe he'll change. We don't know the answer to that because we don't know his entire upbringing. I certainly don't know his entire upbringing.
Yeah.
Look, you were a young player, came into the league. I'm sure you saw a lot of guys, you know, guys you probably looked at and thought, you know, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. You know, can guys change when they're 21, 22 and really take that next step?
Yeah, but most of them have to have mentors.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I said is, you know, Ezekiel, I would find out his crowd immediately because it's who he's hanging with.
Right.
It's everybody that's around him, a yes, yes, yes. Let's go drink, yes. Let's go party, yes. Let's hang out all night, yes. No, somebody needs to be there to say, have you lost your mind? Do you know who you are? Do you know the opportunities that you really have in this business? And no young guys think this way. But I tried to introduce this to my son the other day, sitting on the couch. I said, it is so easy to be good or be great while you're playing. I say, but find yourself on this side of life and let somebody still call you great. Because that's when you put a plan together. And right now, he don't have a plan.
Right.
Right now, his plan is just football. Right. And the only thing carrying him right now is Ezekiel can run a football really well. But sooner or later, you will not be able to run a football.
He might think that takes care of itself. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how most of them
are. Right, right.
Yeah. I don't think age can obviously be overlooked. I mean, I'll go back to politics. I've seen more stuff happen in the last year with 55-year-old people that I'm shaking my head going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Listen, this is a process. He is a great player at Ohio State. Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys end up being unbelievably good. They're on TV 8 times. He can't go anywhere. Introduce the iPhone. Now he goes to a party. You know, all these great NFL players could have gone to parties, too.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have that $200 iPhone.
That's the biggest
difference. So every mistake you made now, it's on a phone.
It's there.
I'll say this to you, Colin, and you guys have made better and different decisions than I have. One of my life philosophies has always been the key to happiness is a lack of responsibility. But it's also a lack of responsibility is what keeps you immature and making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
If this guy, I hate to say, and he's young, but if he had a wife and or a kid, some real responsibility
somebody
in his
to
life.
Answer to.
Yes.
Sometimes, not always.
Sometimes, not always, because listen, let me say this a different way to your point. Nothing in life becomes serious until you take it serious. And the only thing right now he takes serious is football.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. And until he looks at his life and says, I got to change, until he see how serious it really is, because even though he had the rushing yardage last year and all this good stuff, think about this. Think about if you actually sacrificed and didn't do that during the season. See, there was years, blocks, I can put out 12 years, where alcohol or nothing didn't touch my system. Because I was that serious about not the game, after the game.
Yeah.
How long could I play the game? And so my advice would be to Zeke, look, take a hard look at yourself. You know, I tell people this all the time, and we can finish. I tell people this all the time. You ever walk in the mirror, and every time you brush your teeth, you always brush your teeth down? Nobody ever checks their identity in the morning to see what they're really doing. Start looking up when you brush your teeth. It might scare the heck out of you.
Might scare me. To New England. Where Tom Brady, who's done it in January and February, has shown no signs of slowing down, leading to a lot of speculation about what the Patriots will do with Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G, who hasn't done a damn thing in January, now says he doesn't want to back up Brady forever, telling Sports Illustrated, quote, I'm happy being here. I've gotten 2 Super Bowl rings, so I wouldn't say I'm frustrated. Eager to play is probably a better way to put it. I'm just not used to being a backup. I want to be a starter and compete to be a starter. Cowherd, should Jimmy G want out of New England?
No. Quarterback is like real estate. Location, location, location. Okay. Ask Brock Osweiler. You don't leave Denver. You don't leave Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. You don't leave Green Bay. When you, there's very few mm-hmm. organizations where we all go, yeah, they're buttoned up.
Yeah.
Okay, Cleveland's not one of them. Jets, Jacksonville. He's 25 years old. Okay, Steve Young's a Hall of Famer. He really started playing at about 29 after Joe Montana. What's the hurry? Kobe Bryant scored 60 points in his last game. Roger Federer is better now than 2 years ago. LeBron just came off his most efficient year ever. I don't know if you're noticing, diet, nutrition, sit-ups, guys are lasting longer.
Let's go back
longer.
Even further, Roger Staubach.
They're okay. playing longer
Roger Staubach
now.
Came out of the Navy, didn't really start as a regular until he was 28, 29. I can remember his last regular season game hitting Tony Hill for a touchdown to beat the Redskins to get them into the playoffs.
So, I mean, let's say he doesn't play for 2 years. I'm going to extend it. He doesn't play for 2 years, and then he gets it. He's 27. And with the best coach in football. And all that Brady Belichick, you know, stuff in his head. What's the hurry?
But isn't it a good thing for him to say what he said?
Absolutely.
He's a good team player.
No, I'm just saying, wouldn't you want a guy that wants to be the starter? That at least wants to compete for the job? I would.
You were sarcastic. You don't like it?
Yeah.
No, I actually agree with you and Cosell, but I'm still pissed about the Odell conversation.
I
so
think
it's hard to admit that.
I actually think Garoppolo's way overhyped, personally.
There ain't a lot of proof. But listen, on a real note, look, man, this is Tom Brady's last year. Take this to the bank.
He says he's playing 5 minutes.
I know, but Giselle's not. Saying something else. He's going to sit down. He needs to be patient. Aaron Rodgers was patient behind Brett Favre. I know it was tough. Sitting down and playing the bench, it's very hard. I did it. But he'll be rewarded, just as you guys say. He gets to play for the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. They put pieces around. Sometimes you go out there as a rookie and you make mistakes that undermine your confidence, or a young guy, that undermine your confidence. It's that mental weight burden jumps on you, and it's hard to recover from. This guy will get this job at 25, 26 years old, be ready to fly as soon as he gets behind the wheel. It'll be great.
Somebody, I remember somebody once told me they're in broadcasting. They said every sportscaster wants to get to, like, the network. They want to get to Fox or ESPN. And it's like, no, go make mistakes in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. Go make mistakes in Midland, Texas. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo's making a lot of mistakes in practice and in preseason games. And to your point, listen, this is fine. I think we've fallen into a weird space now where if a quarterback doesn't play as a rookie, we're like, oh, he's
And we're also assuming automatically that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a great player. We don't know that. Now, I think right. there's a positive to Garoppolo. Right. He really actually struggled in the preseason last year, yeah. and then when the regular season started, he played better. Mm-hmm. That's a positive. But I think the sample size is too small for us to sit here and automatically assume that he's a superstar quarterback as soon as he becomes a starter.
You need more
data. There's nobody to compete with in New England. If he's going to compete, he needs to go somewhere else and compete right now. Tom ain't giving that up.
The larger question is what happens with Tom Brady after this season, yeah. not Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's done. I agree with Ray. I do like the attitude. The guy should want to start and want to be on the field. But young people today, man, they just hate the oven. They hate baking in the oven. Everybody thinks, hey, toss me in the microwave and I'm going to taste as good as something that was slow cooked the way your mama used to make it. And it just isn't true.
But from high school to college to the NFL, I always had to take a back seat. So I promise you, I understand when he says, at least let me compete for
right,
it.
Right.
Now you can do what you want to do, but at least let me compete for it. And from high school to college to the NFL, I said the same thing. All I'm asking for is treat me. Let me just go out and show you what I can do. So if Jimmy's that confident.
Okay, but let's say, Ray, there was some young linebacker in Baltimore that wanted your job after all you laid down
many,
on tape.
Many.
Right.
Wanted it.
It's always like that, right, Ray?
And I always told them, come get it. I ain't going nowhere.
Welcome back. Jim Jackson here, joined by the founder of the Big League, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to Kevin Durant. As you just heard, I went off on KD today, and for good reason. Yesterday, a fan on Durant's YouTube page said LeBron's better. Durant replied simply, nah. Ridiculous. We know that LeBron's better than Durant. Whitlock, do you have any issue with Durant thinking and saying he's better than LeBron?
Issue with him saying it, no. I completely agree with you, though. I think this is like a little sign of disrespect for LeBron that's starting to creep into the entire NBA. I think they feel like LeBron's reached his apex.
Yep.
And he's going to start. And so get your shots in early. Don't wait till after it's obvious to everyone. Start firing your shots now.
LeBron said something really interesting during the year. I didn't really embrace it. I couldn't get my arms around it, but I thought about it the other day. That remember when the guys were missing, stars were missing games, mm-hmm. and they went and asked LeBron about it, and LeBron said, nobody cares stars are missing games. He goes, San Antonio's been missing them for 8 years. They care I miss games. And you know what? He's right. It was never an issue. And it's like the league is basically saying, okay, you can't miss games. And LeBron's saying, when I broke into this league, the NBA finals that year were the lowest since 81. No golfer ever rips Tiger because they get what he did for them, for the purses. Why are basketball players, the media, taking shots at LeBron? This league was in trouble. It was New Jersey mm-hmm. in the finals.
Yeah, San Antonio, terrible.
The ratings terrible. Were
much
dead.
Much is given, much is expected. LeBron's not some Teflon or some thin-skinned little child that you can't occasionally spank. Everyone appreciates him, but you can still take your little shots.
It's different. It's a different time, and I think the respect level that I know guys have for Michael Jordan, it was certain things you were going to say you weren't going to say to Michael Jordan
right.
in the public media. Now, there were things behind closed doors. Don't get me wrong. It was stuff that the New York Knicks said about Michael Jordan because they didn't care. They were a different breed. Oak, Mason, all those guys, Greg Anthony, you know, Derek Harper, they didn't care. But in regards to other players kind of going at Mike's neck, like we like to say, you didn't see it. I think it's always been something with LeBron, though. In regards to other players.
Yes.
They've always appreciated his talent. They always appreciated what he's done for the game.
And everybody smells it.
But he's sensitive, and so is Kevin Durant. And here's my theory why. I've really looked at some of the dogs that really play. The absence of a father at home tends to lead to guys being more sensitive. If you think about it, Kevin Durant, lovely mother, raised them. Epitome of a young man that does the right thing. So is LeBron. But one thing they lack is a father figure. A father figure that pushes you a little bit different than what a mother can or can't. Kobe Bryant, father figure. Michael Jordan, father figure. Larry Bird, father figure. Magic Johnson. Now, the outlier may be Allen Iverson from that perspective because he's just a little built differently without having really that true father figure. But the sensitivity does, I think, for me, come from that, and that's why you have a lot of these little jabs going back and forth a lot of times that we may think is simple, but to them, it's a little bit
different. That's pretty impressive, yeah. Jim. I mean, I'm not going to get on that psychological level, but I went on the herd a month ago, and I said, I have no issue with this. You know, Kevin Durant is better at this juncture than LeBron. Again, he's almost 4 years younger. We just saw the finals, 35 points a game, destroyed LeBron in the fourth quarter. Remember game three? Kevin Durant had 14 in the fourth. Including the game winner over LeBron. And this is not a knock against LeBron. Okay, guys? LeBron averaged a triple-double. That's great. Yeah, look, Kevin Durant was the finals of the MVP. And Whitlock, hold on. Let me get this in. Do you remember 1991? Magic was on top of the league, mm-hmm. back-to-back MVPs, goes up against Jordan. Jordan takes him down in the finals in five games. Jordan was then the king of the league. I believe Kevin Durant's now going to be the king of the NBA.
I don't think Kevin Durant's better than LeBron right now. But I hear
he's
your point.
He's in a better situation.
He's in a much
in
better
some
situation.
Aspects of his game, he's better than LeBron.
But Jim, you've made a hell of a point that's a much bigger conversation than we have time for right now that I hadn't all the way thought through, but I have always thought LeBron is sensitive. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the product of an era where so many African-American kids are brought up without their fathers, mm-hmm. that it does create a different persona and a different personality. And again, in terms of, you said it, but I'm going to reiterate it, you didn't go at Jordan's neck because Jordan was the type of guy that would make you pay a price for that on the court and in every way possible. LeBron doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. He may pick up his ball and go home and go play someplace else, but in terms of really extracting, occasionally he does, because Golden State got after him a year ago in the finals, and it brought out a beast in LeBron we had never seen. LeBron had the situation in Dallas when he was in Miami, and then the next year. But Jordan makes you pay instantly.
So does Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe.
So does Kobe.
Makes you pay instantly. And so you've made a hell of a point about that era of guys. But here, I'll give you a great warrior, Isaiah Thomas. No father, great warrior. But that era was dominated by guys that there was only one way to carry it. You had to be a warrior.
Well, it's also different. Back then, everybody was fighting for the financial pie. Everybody's getting a little piece. Yeah. Everybody's getting rich now. Yeah. I mean, Cody Zeller is going to make as much money as Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I mean, that's the league now. Uh-huh. So I mean, everybody's a star now. I love your point, and I think you're really hitting on something. But I do think the players now are taking – remember, the guys were flying commercial. Everybody's getting rich. And the culture now in the NBA is don't hit the moneymaker. We're all getting rich. They're all a little more pampered. And they're all a little more aware of their brand, what's said about them on YouTube. I think that is another component to what Jim's saying is they're all a little sensitive these days.
But I would be mad if Durant didn't think that he was better than
LeBron.
I would be upset because you have the game. You've proven that. And him saying that is not, like you said, a slap at LeBron. It's just where I'm at right now.
Players couldn't go after Jordan on social media in the 80s. You know, it couldn't happen.